What's up, everyone? It's your girl, Mrs. Renee, here, and we are back with episode 10.
10?
Have we made it to 10, or
yes.
Is this 9? I think this is 10.
10. Mm-hmm.
It's 10, hey! And I know for people who have been listening for a while, this is definitely not our 10th episode, but since we got a title, we decided to start over, and so based on that, it's our 10th episode.
So,
10 week anniversary. Universe. What'd you get me?
I don't know.
You didn't remember?
I didn't. But I remembered when they came. It came. I know it's the 10th one.
It's all right. It's all right. Of course, this is, our review and recap of Temptation Island, episode number 3. Of course, I am here, as always, with my esteemed and handsome co-host.
Ooh, okay. Yay, handsome. what's up, universe? It's Mr. B. How are you doing?
And before we get started, as usual, how's the week been? Mr. B, how you doing? I know it's young. We're here right. Tuesday night 3 of sleep training our kid.
Right. So it's good. It's my shift. We'll see how I do. She's going to be all right, though.
Yes,
but there's
is.
A lot of that goes into it. But it's good.
It is. It's a difficult process. But, you make the commitment 2 weeks, 14 days, and hopefully she'll be sleeping like an angel. And
right.
So will mommy and daddy.
Yay.
All right, y'all, let's get into this episode. So we are not here for 2 hours talking your ears off. So we pick up, of course, where we left off last week.
Mm-hmm,
at the girls' bonfire with Erica having her little struggles.
Right.
We recap that even though she looked in the mirror, she liked what she saw, she loves herself, she needs to get a little bit more confident and deep into that love and
mm-hmm.
understand what it is that she really wants and stop thinking so much about Kendall and what he's doing
right.
and what she can do for him.
Right.
She talks about how he's really practical and comments on how she's too emotional. And Mark says something pretty interesting. He goes, practical isn't good and emotional is not bad.
Yeah.
Now, while I don't think that practical is horrible,
no.
It's not the be-all, end-all, and it's definitely not what's going to keep a relationship moving forward. So in that regard, I totally
mm-hmm.
agree with what he had to say. She looks at him being this mature, practical guy, and she's this emotional mess, when really, in a relationship where two people are supposed to be in love and building a life together, emotional is necessary.
Right.
You might not be the most emotional person in the world, but you need to have that
yeah.
with a partner that you're building a relationship with. Practicality is not high on the list
right.
necessarily of stuff that makes a marriage work.
Exactly.
So anyway, so we go into Kristen. Is it Kristen or Kirsten?
Kristen.
Kristen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kristen next. And they do what they do on
uh-huh.
this fucking show where mm-hmm. they manipulate and kind of mess with her a little bit. And
right.
then show her the clip of Julian suggesting that they have a dance battle.
We knew this was going to
mm-hmm.
happen.
And it turns into one of the girls trying to give him a lap dance. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, the video cuts off right before you see Julian
fall back
out of his chair to avoid getting the lap dance.
Right.
She doesn't get to see that. It
and
looks
she calls
like,
that out.
Yeah,
she's just like, of course you would stop it.
Yeah,
there.
Of course you would stop it right there. I don't get to see if he decided to reject it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we all know he does reject it, but she is having doubts.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, is thinking about the fact that he's cheated on her twice.
Right, right.
And I don't know if, his priorities are really what they say, what he says they are.
Right.
Which is supposed to be her and focusing on their relationship. So she seems like she's okay,
mm-hmm.
but she feels a little bit away about it. But
yeah.
she doesn't know. So I like that she's not making assumptions.
Yes.
It's difficult for her to think the best of him, but she isn't automatically like, oh my God, I know he's cheating. Oh.
Yeah, right.
Like a lot of the other girls and girls past have done.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's up next. Remind me what we see for Aaron's clip.
Aaron, oh yeah, Corey was there. He was hanging out with the girls. He was mm-hmm. taking body shots.
Yes, he does do a body shot
mm-hmm.
or two. He has a conversation with a couple of them about how Aaron doesn't really give him much emotionally.
Right, exactly.
And how he kind of feels like she neglects him. And
like he feels second.
Yeah, he feels second to her.
Mm-hmm.
And, this really strikes a chord with Aaron, it
yeah.
seems. Like, she starts really opening up about how she's not only scared to get hurt in her relationship, but
mm-hmm.
that ultimately it's about her not really being happy with herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, she's like, he's having a good time. I'm really glad to see that. I'm not going to sit up here and get upset over a body shot. Like
mm-hmm.
I told him to enjoy himself. He's like, I'm not going to be mad. It's not like she's in his bed or anything.
Yeah.
But she's like, I think I might actually be the one who has the problem here. And originally I thought that we were coming here because I had a lot to think about and he really needed to find some confidence and find himself. But really, I think the problem is me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that was a really quick.
Oh, I know, right?
Quick development there, my friend. But that's pretty much where we leave off with that bonfire. And we switch, of course, to the guys mm-hmm. who do the slow and dramatic entry into right. the bonfire realm. it's all so dramatic. Yeah, y'all. Very dramatic. Y'all, come on now. But Mark gives them the usual speech. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to see this clip. We don't get to know what happens before. We won't know what happens after. Before they get into it, he kind of has a conversation with Tom mm-hmm. and asks him how things are going. And he's saying that he actually is feeling really free
right.
in this process. He loves the fact that even though this is something that bothers Chelsea, he can talk to women right. and not really have to think about her feelings. Because
he's a flirt.
Yeah, because this is who he is naturally and who he's wanted to be.
Right.
So we established that early on in the bonfire, but he's not the first person to go mm-hmm. in the bonfire, which I thought was kind of weird. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first person up is Corey.
Right.
And he sees Erin on her date mm-hmm. with Griffin, is it?
Yeah, Griff.
Griff the Soccerman.
The Soccerman, yeah.
And they're having this conversation about the struggles of being, you know, a soccer player and wishing they were back at the gym mm-hmm. and all of this other stuff.
Relating to each other and what mm-hmm. the experiences that they have.
Yeah.
Obviously, Corey is going to feel emotional about this mm-hmm. in general. He says it's like an emotional roller coaster. And that, you know, he really knew right off the bat that...
Yeah, that this was going to be someone she was drawn to.
Yeah,
he's a little threatened.
Yeah, exactly.
By that. Because, of course, you know, she's dated the athletes before. And that's something that is really important to her.
Right.
And that she wants to be able to have some understanding about.
Right.
So even though he's not tripping, he feels a little slighted by it.
Exactly.
Julian's up next. And, mm-hmm. of course, he sees Kristen talking to Man Bun Jesse in a clip on their date.
Man Bun Jesse.
I loved his response here when, you know, Mark was like, well, you know her better than I do. What is it that you're seeing here? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I see that she's opening up, but I think that her problems with me and what I've done in the past are really holding her back from being fully engaged. Like, he can tell mm-hmm. that she's definitely holding a lot back. She's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the Shari stuff with right. Javen. Shari and Javen, and Javen being like, yeah, I'm not seeing her fully embrace this right now because right. she's too caught up thinking about me and what I'm doing.
Right.
And I think Javen's point then in season two was I'm not doing shit and she needs to know that and just go grow and experience. And I think Julian is saying the same thing. I think she thinks I'm going to do something and I'm not here for that. He said that he's focused on earning that trust back
mm-hmm.
and making sure that his priorities are straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed his reaction to the clip, his wanting her to be more open and then also being like, but I'm here to develop me and I'm here to make sure that she knows that at the end of this, I'm ready to get married. And I think Mark makes a point about how
right.
if you could marry her tomorrow, would you? And he's like, hell yeah, I'm ready for that.
Totally.
I want that. It's her.
He's
you know, and he's
do
not
it.
It's not in an accusatory or blaming way.
Right.
But he's like, she's the one who has the hold back, is
right.
not sure if she can trust me or move on from some of the things in our past.
Right.
Kendall is up third,
mm-hmm.
and he sees the clip of Erica talking to the guy that she went on a date with. What was it, Les? Or
I forgot.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Y'all, if anyone in the comments knows his name, or if you're listening to this, sir, we don't not like
Lex.
You. Lex.
Lex, maybe.
Is it Lex?
I think it's Lex.
I think it's Lex. I'm sorry I called you Les. That's weird. It could be like a short, I don't know. Anyway, Lex. And even though the conversation was pretty generic,
right?
Like, I don't even really remember what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
Kendall is annoyingly unfazed
right.
by it. He's like, oh, I mean, I'm not really worried about this guy. Like, I don't care. I know at the end of the day, like,
yeah,
you know, Kendall's solid and I'm good. And he's like, I'm not really going to think about that right now.
He was seeing like everyone's trying to be nice and have
yeah.
their interview phase. Basically,
yeah,
everyone's
interview
just trying,
phase.
Trying to like.
He's. I can tell he's saying some lines and trying
right.
to say the right thing and do the right thing.
So he's like, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him at all. Tom is the last one, and it's kind of a similar thing where he sees Chelsea talking to Blake the dentist,
mm-hmm.
and they're having a cute little convo, but Tom is also even more so irritating Lian Fei's. And don't get me wrong. There's nothing happening in these clips that either of these women or either of these men should be worried about, because there's nothing going on.
Nothing.
But the callous and cavalier way that they're like, psh, whatever, I'm not worried about what's going on here, is it's so Casey season two, Casey, male Casey season two. Yeah. She's never going to leave me. And this is way more Tom too. Like, because he's like, I don't think that we're trying to fill any voids. I don't think, you know, that Chelsea is going to have a huge connection to this other guy. Mm-hmm. We're very deeply connected. I'm not worried about anything. Right.
He got kind of defensive.
Yeah. And Mark was like, oh, you know, you wouldn't be here if there wasn't some sort of void that you needed to fill. And later on, he's like, we're not filling a void.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, Casey, like, y'all are becoming character tropes of yourselves and not even your actual authentic selves anymore, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to act like, because I'm a fan of the show, I don't see that. We go back after the bonfires where the girls are sitting together, and I feel like this happens with them a lot.
Right.
Where they're reflecting on the things that they saw, and it was a long BS, BS, BS combo, but the basic things that you need to take from it are, Erin wants to love herself enough to stop taking out her insecurities and her anger on Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like she does that because he's the closest person to her.
Mm-hmm.
Erica and Chelsea would like to be more confident in themselves so that they know what they're worth, they know what they deserve, and they're not going to continue to be pushovers in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I found it interesting that Erica and Chelsea seem to be kind of in a similar boat. I think Kendall is more of a slut and Tom is more of an abusive manipulator.
Mm.
So Erica has more to worry about, and that Kendall was really looking for either a breakup or a hall pass.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea has more to worry about, and that Tom has absolutely no intention of breaking up with her. He just knows that she's a doormat and he can continue to do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Right.
Because she's younger. And I think guys like that like younger girls, as we'll see later on, because they believe somewhere in their head that they're going to be the ones who call the shots, who get to say how the relationship goes and do whatever the hell they want to do. And you're just this dumb 25-year-old. Like, listen to me. You know?
Yeah.
I've met many men like Tom.
Well, now I'm starting to see some of those vibes.
I know we're still technically early up in it, but these are the episodes where we reveal a lot about who we're dealing with here. And I think we're learning a lot more about, especially Kendall and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And the parallels that are drawn between the relationships that they have with their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, the next day we go to the guy's villa. And Corey is continuing to talk to the girls about how he's feeling, abused and neglected. Or I guess he doesn't say abused. He says beat up.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit by Erin, not physically, but emotionally. And it's interesting that he is having this conversation with these girls when Erin has just sort of had this revelation across, you know, in the other villa herself. Yeah, I really am kind of being shitty and taking all of this shit out on him. And he's communicating this to some of these other ladies.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the guys' bonfire, too, Mark lays on them. This is relevant because we're going to do some of these cheesy staged, will you go out with me things.
Right.
But he reminds the dudes that they need to go and pick their second dates,
mm-hmm.
and that they can ask them whenever and however they want, but it just needs to happen before date day, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get these little vignette starting the next day with the guys, and Corey is talking to Nicole,
mm-hmm.
who spells her name really messed up too.
With a CK.
What is happening? Nicole and Alexis's, but anyway.
Alexis's.
So he has this conversation with her and another girl, I think two other girls, like three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of planting the seeds. And then we also learn that Tom is into Sophia. Now, Sophia was the one from the when we were talking about meeting the singles in our first episode,
mm-hmm.
and I said that she was real cute, but she really heavily relied on that stereotype of being a spicy Latina.
Well, it's working for her.
It is working for her, mm-hmm. because Tom is interested,
yes.
and has said awkwardly, "Well, you know, she's my type. Like, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. She's my type.
Yeah.
And we're just like, shut up, Tom. Go fuck off with your beads.
But seriously. It works because she's 22.
Yep, and
he's 37.
And she likes to wear her little tops with her boobies.
Right.
And you know, it's...
And she's all blushing and everything.
Yeah, blushing and, hi, well, I'm gonna be a spicy Latina and talk about salty food and spicy food and whatever. I don't know. It was weird, y'all. I don't know. So we're going to start doing a lot of cuts back and forth between the guys and the girls' villa. Mm-hmm. So try to keep up. I don't want to keep having to say where we are. It's annoying. But I'll do it a little bit. So we go back to the girls' villa with Blake the dentist, who is talking to Chelsea about how he believes that he is like...
The dad of the guys. The zaddy. Of the group. Well, I mean, he's the doctor.
Yes. So. And he's the oldest, I believe, as right. well. He's, what, 34?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So all the guys like mm-hmm. see him as the older brother.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, I just really want to be here for you girls, and I'm here for the guys too. And I want to make sure that, you know, I'm kind of the dad of the group. And at this point, even though I don't want him to be right, I'm low key agreeing with Kendall that we're doing a lot of like interviewee things now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he was being that way with her before. Like, well, you know, you need someone to listen to you when she just said that Tom never listens to me. Right. And now I'm the dad of the group. Wink, wink. Maybe I'm ready to have children. I'm just a little bit like, all right, Blake the dentist, we get it. You've got money. You're a doctor. You're a catch. You're very physically fit.
Right.
Let's tone it down a notch.
Ooh, he don't know. He doesn't know.
But Chelsea, of course, uses this as an opportunity to ask him on the second date because, oh my God, we're here together.
Yeah.
All right, we snap back to the guys' villa and Corey is talking to Nicole again, who is hoping to get a second date, but then he does not ask her. So they're sitting alone and having a chatty chat and she's just like, oh, you know, other people talk about how we'd make such a cute couple.
Totally,
and
right.
Corey's a little put off by that. He's like, honestly, it kind of... through me, she's moving a little quick, you know, because he's still very much into Aaron. He might be talking and being more open about how he feels about, you know, the neglect and the beaten up that he feels. But he's definitely into her. Right. And so I don't think he's the type that's going to cling to one person like that. And he expressed feeling a little overwhelmed by Nicole and her aggression. And so he decides to ask Amanda on the second date.
Right.
Which, as we'll learn later, does not go over well. But we'll get there, y'all. We'll get there. Because it never do. Especially because, like we said, the show is 90% alcohol. Erin has a moment where she asks Shaquille. The personal trainer.
Right.
And I think the resident black, is he?
I believe he is. Yes, yeah.
Or at least the darkest of, black. Yeah. If there's another black, none is so black as Shaquille. And he's super vibing Aaron. So right. even though this
he's kind of giddy.
He's like, I'm really drawn to her. I really like her. Aaron. It's awkward when she asks him.
Yeah. I don't think he realized that she was gonna ask.
And so he was kind of taken aback and she was like, yo, dude, chill, it's not that deep. And he's like, but it's you.
You're right. He laughs. I had to go to look to see what he did for a living and said he was a personal trainer. And I was like, okay.
And he's got the gigantic muscles.
Right.
So it all makes sense. And of course, there was a whole lot of muscles
like in this episode. Did you notice that? A lot of people working out.
And a lot of beads.
And a lot of beads, you guys.
So if you're out there,
oh my God,
take a sip
beads.
Of whatever alcoholic beverage you're nursing right now, or coffee if this is a morning thing for you.
Yes.
Take a sip. Because shout out to the men who eat in the beads. They swim in the beads.
Right.
They work out in the beads.
They interview in the beads.
They go to the bonfire in the beads. They go on the date in the beads.
In the beads. I need some beads. It's on my list on Amazon.
Get it out of your cart, bro. No. I've yet to have anyone explain to me what this phenomenon is. So until you do, you're drinking out there, America.
Drink.
And actually, not just America, because sometimes we have people in like London and
the Philippines.
Shout out to the international people listening to our stuff. Woo-woo. Anyway, then we get to Kristen, who at this point, since we're doing date asking, we thought that was going to be what this was, but it was not what this was. She goes and sits next to Blake the dentist and some other guy. Who?
Evan?
It's not Evan.
No.
It's not Evan. Evan's ambiguously black.
Oh, I don't know.
He kind of looks like Kyle, the singer. Am I alone?
I don't know.
Anybody agree?
Everyone's blending.
But anyway, so she goes and it was definitely Blake the dentist. other guy, it could have been Griffin, or it could have been a Matt.
I think,
or a John.
I think it was Griffin.
Was it Griffin?
Because he was the soccer guy.
Yeah, I think it was the soccer guy. Sorry, y'all. There are a lot of you motherfuckers in this show that look exactly the same. And that's not racism. That's just facts. Yeah. Like,
and your name goes across the screen very quickly, and so it's hard.
It's in a little bloop. And they don't always show the name. No. They don't always show the name. We spent an entire season not knowing what a very cute girl's name was. The entire season two.
Right.
Because they just didn't. They just didn't. Right. Anyway, we digress. So she has a conversation with these two gentlemen.
Right.
About her boyfriend and what she saw at the bonfire and whether or not it was like a deal breaker for her, or what, you know, her ideas were, what she might do about it. Is there a conversation that's going to be had? And she walks away from that convo. It seemed like feeling good. Like, oh, I got that off my chest.
Right.
But Blake and this other gentleman were very much like, oh, she's so closed off. She's so annoying. Like, I don't get her deal, because she's always just Julian. And you're like, you're here and you're saying that you want change, but you're just going to keep tolerating his shit because it's too inconvenient to break up your lives.
Right.
I think she talks about how their families know each other well, and that her dad's going to be really unhappy. Yeah, they've been together for so long. So they're just kind of like, well, then what the fuck are you here for? Right. Like, Guan, basically.
No, like, don't talk to me.
Why are you talking to us about this? It's old. I thought they were being a little harsh.
Yeah.
A sprinkle of harsh.
That's a little drama.
But I also think, too, that there's something, and as we'll get to this, that's going on with Kristen and the guys not really feeling her.
No.
And I don't think that it's necessarily just because of Julie. And I think there are some other factors that, again, we will get to. Because this episode, I'm not going to lie, is kind of boring to me. I was a little bit like, oh, yawn. But, like I said, we needed to lay the groundwork.
So right.
We're
it's always
using this episode
that seems about right.
to get to know our cast of characters a little bit better and who the main characters are about to be.
Right.
And that's what we're doing with this episode. So, we fast forward to the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we are back in the girls' villa, and they decide to have a 70s theme party.
Disco night.
Which, like, okay, y'all, okay. I know it's TV, you know it's TV, the jig is up, and it's fine.
Right.
But, like, also, for those of us who aren't really paying much attention, are we really supposed to believe still that everyone just had this really authentic, accurate 70s gear just lying around?
Yeah.
Is it like summer camp where when they accept you on the show, they send you a packing list and they say, please bring the following costumes. Make them sexy.
Right.
So it's not just, hey, you have an afro. You also have a revealing 70s bikini to wear along with it.
And bell-bottoms.
Where'd you get those bell-bottoms and giant platform shoes?
Right, Dr. Blake.
Dr. Blake the dentist.
Right.
Is that because you had money, so you went all out on your outfit?
You did.
Or does the studio say, hey, we got costumes for these three things. Pick one, hoes. And they
I'm sure they have a whole place for their costumes.
Because now we've had an angel and devil themed party.
And everyone had fishnets.
And everyone had fishnets and wings.
Right.
And now we're having a 70s themed party. And everyone has very good, high quality costumes.
Right. There's no one that's like, oh, that's kind of 80s.
Yeah. There's no one like me who would have just been like, I'm going to wing it. I'm going to do it with makeup. I'm doing 70s because I wouldn't have shit.
Yeah.
So unless they sent a packing list like summer camp.
Or they provided it for
Or they're providing it. I want to know. Anyone work in reality TV and know how that works? Because I would love to know exactly what happens behind the scenes with that.
Right.
Anyways, we're having a very accurate 70s theme party. So we'll start with this drama. So the girls are having, Aaron is not involved, but the other three girls all sit down at a table with Evan,
the
ambiguously black guy. Now, we remember Evan. If you don't, I'm about to remind you. Evan was the one who on the first night popped a bottle of champagne and shook it around. And Kristen felt the need to regulate.
Yes.
And tell him that he's going to need to get a Clorox wipe and clean that shit up. Because this is not a frat house. This is a shared living space. And you're not going to disrespect it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got into it. He called her a bitch. She was saying that he was taking it like way over the line and starting to get disrespectful. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the girls, minus Erin, sit down with Evan. Evan's like, you know, I just wanted to kind of sit down and talk to you guys because I feel like I haven't really gotten to know you. You know, I know that there's been some things said about how you guys feel kind of a way about me. And the girls are like, whoa, 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 whoa.
What do you mean?
Who's telling you that we feel any kind of way? And he's like, well, you know, with the whole champagne thing, I just wanted to say I'm sorry. Like, and he didn't mean it. Obviously, he did not mean he was sorry, because the way that he was doing it, he kind of rolled his eyes like, I'm sorry. And he's like, you know, I just don't want all of this drama and whatever's going around about me. And Kristen starts getting mad and is like, okay, you need to tell us who is talking all of this shit and telling you all these things, because it's not true. No one feels a way about you. No right. one's been talking shit about you. Why are we making this such a huge freaking deal? Mm-hmm. And I think it's revealed eventually that Blake is the one.
Yeah, he says, well, and like Blake just happened to come.
Yeah, he just happened to come over, I think, because he knew.
Right.
Because when you're a little gossip like that, you got to make sure that your gossip groups don't come together and implode. And as a girl who does do her fair share of gossip, the number one rule is if you're going to talk shit to one party about another party, you have to make sure that those parties never converge.
Right.
Which is why it's a rookie mistake to even be the one to start shit mm-hmm. in such a small and close-knit group. Rookie mistake. You'd never do it. You'd right. never do it.
But he's Dr. Blake. He knows everything.
But yeah, of course, he thinks that he's the dad of the group, so right. he's untouchable, blah, and blah,
he's
blah.
He's just trying to take care of him.
So the reason why he walked his happy little dentist ass over to that table is because he's like, shit, mm-hmm. my gossip groups are converging. I need to go do some damage control. Mm-hmm. He goes over there. Evan's like, look, I'm going to be honest. Blake yes. is the one who's been telling me about how you guys have kind of been not really feeling me or not really trying to talk to me or deal with me because of what happened. And this kind of makes Chelsea a little bit like, ew.
Like, what the hell?
Why would you go and insert yourself in business that isn't yours? Like, right. what the fuck is that?
That's weird.
Kristen is pissed and, like, trying to understand where Blake is getting this information from. Erica ain't got nothing to say. Again, Erin is not there. They don't really have much resolve unless I'm missing something. They don't really do a whole lot about the situation here. It just kind of
obviously Chelsea's going to be
left. But yeah, Chelsea is left feeling a little dumbfounded and weird around Blake. She's like, why? And Kristen's pissed off and now wondering what other things people know and what people have been saying about her, basically. We go back over to the guys' villa, and their theme for their party is slumber party, which, like, it's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Slumber party.
I mean, they decide to have Sundays, and they're eating them off of each other, and it's basically an excuse for people to be in their jammy jams and undies, and I'm just like, y'all.
Pajama party.
Of all the ratchet.
Pillow fight.
Come on. It literally is a frat house over there.
Yeah.
But with girls. It's a sorority house with guys running it, basically.
Right. Wow.
But. Nicole starts talking to Kendall, and she is obviously very drunk.
Yes.
Nicole. And she's like, she keeps saying the word low key, which irritates me for whatever reason. But she's like, you know, low key, it's just really not cool. Like, he didn't even tell me he wasn't going to ask me on the second date, he being Corey. Uh-huh. And I had to hear from some other girl that he asked Amanda. And that just, like, really hurts me. And so she kind of starts going on some crazy shit.
Right.
And, you know, Corey overhears her and he's like, hey, you know, I wanted to talk to you. And she's like, literally, leave me alone. Like, I do not want to talk to you right now. I don't want to talk. Like, she goes from being who I thought was kind of cool to kind of acting a little nutty.
A little bit.
And I'm not the one to sit here and, you know, be like, bitches be crazy or nothing like that. But it came really out of left field to me. Like,
it didn't need to go all the way.
You guys had one date.
Right.
You had a nice follow-up conversation. He was never disrespectful. At no point did he say, yeah, girl, I'm about to ask you on the second date. Just hold up 1 second and then go slide over to Amanda. He never said anything like that. There were no promises made. She was being flirty. He was being open. But again, you know how he feels about his girlfriend. And she even acknowledged that. She's like, look, I know he's going through a lot, but he did me so dirty.
Right.
And we're just like, he didn't. He just didn't ask you on that second date. There are lots of dates. it doesn't mean that at some point when it's time to pick your pony that you're not the pony that will get picked.
Right.
Say that 5 times fast.
Ooh. Nope.
But as, like we said, this show is all drinks and
right.
drama.
Right.
And so they pumped this bitch full of alcohol, got her mad hype, made her feel like she was being disrespected, and she lost her cool. So she probably lost her chances. Right. If she had any.
And she's probably a little embarrassed, too.
Yeah, like, and yeah, she tells him that he made her look dumb. Mm-hmm. And now she just looks dumb and crazy. And then in the confessional, she's like, but you're playing with my emotions. And I'm just like, I think we got emotional really, really, really fast, baby girl. This ain't The Bachelor.
Right.
You don't have, 10 weeks to try to get the husband at the end.
Mm-hmm.
This is an island of alcohol, and you're trying to tempt men with girlfriends into liking you slightly more than they like their girlfriends for the moment.
Right.
And then you get your built-in 100 to 150 new followers on Instagram, and all of a sudden, you're selling flat tummy tea for a living. So don't sit up here and act like this is life or death, or that people for real, 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 real fall in love and get married on Temptation Island, because
they don't.
Come on, we've been following this shit. We know. Okay.
We know.
So that was the drama on both sides. So we kind of left things a little unresolved. Mm. Maybe next week we'll go back to it. But again, kind of a boring episode. So I think they needed to put things in there to kind of give us a little bit of something, but that wasn't enough of a bomb to explode.
Right. There was a lot of revealing things.
Yeah, a lot of revealing things. Like craziness. I said, cast of characters, but not straight craziness. Like I know when we get to episode 5, 6, 7,
right.
we're going to start to see.
Ooh, right.
We go to the next day, and it's the dates. The dates are always so freaking boring to me, too. Am I just bored?
And bored, yeah.
Is that my problem?
No, I mean, like,
am I burning out?
I don't know if I would even want to do any of that stuff.
Right, like, and they keep doing them like all together.
Right,
and it's like boating.
Water sports.
I mean, is this COVID? Is this what this is? So they don't really have a lot of options, maybe?
I don't know. I probably would do the kayak part.
Yeah, the kayak.
I would not snorkel.
No snorkeling. I don't like that. I don't fuck with ocean creatures. Y'all.
Right. Paddle boarding seems like a chore.
A huge chore. You gotta have a lot of upper body strength.
But, like, see, I'm one of those people, I'm like, I'll stay on the boat. That's fine. Right? I'm chilling here, and somebody give me some alcohol. You guys
damn,
seem to
nature.
Have a whole lot of things.
You scared.
You scared, right? I would try snorkeling, but I've tried snorkeling.
I don't want to get involved. So, I don't want to have a running. You know how many fish are in a school?
I don't know.
There's like 10,000 of them motherfuckers, and one of you. Don't get caught up in a school of fish. That's nothing but a gang. Throwing signs, ready to eat your face.
Nope.
The dates are boring. The girls do snorkeling. The dudes do like the paddle boarding and the kayaking and shit. Whoop-de-whoop. The things that I pulled from the dates are Erica went with Man Bun Jesse, and that was an interesting matchup. Not really sure where that came from, but we didn't even see her ask him, so I guess we're not really supposed to give a crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, though, if Man Bun Jesse is going to be an instrumental cast of character, because he's been there all 3 episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
Unassuming, not disrespectful, nothing crazy, but he's been there.
He's been there.
So is he up in there?
I don't know.
That's
all he really does have, though.
He's Man Bun Jesse.
Yeah.
We like him, though. Respect.
Yeah.
Kendall takes Alexis's again, right. and he tells her that he wants to fully dive
into
the experience. Oh, I'm about to dive in.
Oh, right?
Trace
so
songs.
That is... That is a clear indicator for her, though.
Yeah,
she sees
eggplants in her eyes.
Right.
And she's talking about taking her damn relationship to the next level.
Ooh.
So he said, I don't have no rules. And she's like, oh, so that means if anything happens, it's not bad. We're good. Right. And he's like, well,
living
my
best life.
Sorry. and then we have Tom and Sophia, who, oh my God, Sophia is totally my type. He gets a little flower from a bush
right.
and puts it in this bitch's hair. Again, she cute. She real cute.
Right.
I don't really understand what she sees in him. I get what he sees in her. Right. I don't understand what she sees in him.
We all see what he sees in her. Yeah,
but we'll deal with it, I guess. Right.
But she's all like heart racing. Yeah. Oh my God, she's just a guy.
Like, oh my God, I wanted to come on the island and meet someone like this. Oh, because, geez. Bitch, I'm so tired of my job. I'm just trying to sell some flat tummy tea.
Right.
So, you know, you got to pull one of the men to get that popularity. And everyone loves a villain, too. So right. Don't think that if you steal someone's man and everyone hates you, that right. That's still not a flat tummy tea salesman in the making.
Right. But that's her in. That's she got cameras. In. She got some camera footage and she's there. So yeah. Everyone's talking about her.
Everyone basically returns from their dates. When the girls get back, they are treated to a Mexican fiesta. Mm-hmm. The guys make guacamole and homemade salsa and tacos. Erica reflects on how it's really nice to come home. And someone else has made food when that's always her job.
Right.
In her relationship she's with like, Kendall, man. She's like, it would be nice to be with a guy who knew how to cook. So for all of Kendall's bullshit about how elevated and what level he's on, you can't even cook, my dude. You can't even cook. Your girlfriend works a long day as a personal assistant and she comes home and feeds that ass. And you're telling somebody about how they need to get on your level or get lost. I'm sorry. So you're not rich enough to afford a chef is what you're saying.
Right. You're not successful enough
you're not that successful.
Chef.
Okay.
Okay.
Can't stand him anyway.
Right.
We do not claim him in the world of Kendall's.
Right. Oh, right. Oh, there you go. Double layer. I was worried, like, you really don't like. Oh, that's right.
Do not like
has your name, too.
Making me look bad out here. Chelsea starts to kind of trip out on her feelings for Blake the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So they go on the date. She talks to him a little bit more about how she's a little bit nervous. And he's just saying, like, don't worry. I know what your situation is. I'm going to take this slow. She asks for patience. And then she has this conversation with Aaron about how, you know, she still really loves Tom.
Yeah.
But she's starting to sort of feel things for Blake. But she doesn't really know if she should trust that because he's done some things that she also doesn't really like that remind right. her of Tom.
Right.
Aaron's suggestion is totally gangster and I love it. Maybe you should expand your options.
Right.
Like, don't hitch your wagon to fucking Blake, basically.
Yeah.
And stop thinking about Tom. Do right. what you came here to do. If you're trying to get confidence,
get your
go
confidence.
See what else is out there. It doesn't have to be Blake the dentist. Why you gravitated to the most obvious choice.
Right.
Maybe try something else. I mean, she did not say all this, but this is right. what I read into when right. she said what she said, basically.
Right.
The guys on the other side during this time simultaneously are having a game night. And basically, we get from this that Kendall and Alexis are trying to smizzity-smizzity-smash. And, of course, they cut the episode off here.
Right.
But basically, what happens is they're talking about all the guys, and they're saying how Kendall is the only guy who is really taking the experience for what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have rules. He's no not way. Constantly obsessed over his girlfriend.
He's open about
what he's there to do, and he's going to do what he wants to do. And they're like, man, Kendall is doing it right. Alexis, you are super lucky that you're like kind of vibing with him right now. And she's like, hell yeah, I am. Like, I'm ready to take this relationship up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes to him and is like, yeah, it's so late. I'm getting tired. I should go to bed. And they walk upstairs together and he has her in the room. And
she's already in her PJs. So.
No, she's not. She's in her full clothes. She's in a silk top and jeans and heels. Talking about how she's been having the time of her life. And Kendall's like, all right, well, I respect you. I'll see you later. And he gives her a kiss.
Uh-huh.
A whole kiss in his room.
Mm-hmm.
Feel it on the boot skis.
Right.
You know, and then he's like, all right, you ready? And she's like, to go to bed. And he just laughs. And he's like, well, you know, you can stay, but like, I don't know, trying to act all crazy. And then in the confessional, he's like, well, it's going to see where this goes. I'm interested to see how the night unfolds.
Oh, geez.
And I'm just like, if you aren't the lamest dude on the show, I don't know who is, but that's just my opinion. I don't like garbage like that.
Yeah,
like, well, if something happens organically, it happens organically. It's cool. You don't have rules. Be upfront about yours. But I just don't like dudes who spend so much time downgrading what they have and then acting like they deserve so much more
mm-hmm.
than what they have in front of them. when what they have in front of them, at least from what we're seeing, is great. Mm-hmm. Erica seems like a really nice, right, hardworking, genuine person. I'm sure she's flawed and has her shit, but the way that she feels, I don't think she deserves.
Right.
And then Kendall feels like he deserves so much more than her.
Her, right.
And it's just, it gets under your skin that there are women like Alexis's, who I don't think is doing it on purpose because she doesn't have the full scope. Mm-hmm. But who try to make this person feel like, yeah, you do deserve better. And I'm better, without even having to know what it's like on the other side.
Right, right.
And I know I shouldn't be thinking this deeply about Temptation Island, but it's just infuriating to me. I cannot stand the shit, y'all. I can't.
Right.
I cannot. Ugh, Kendall, you're on my bad side. Come on our show and answer for your crime. From one Kendall to another. But no, any questions lingering for you at the end of this boring-ass episode?
Ooh, after this boring episode, then like what are they going to do to turn it up?
Right, because y'all need to turn up the notches. It's episode 4. Well,
I think something's going to happen.
No, it definitely looks like there's going to be some drama popping off next week.
Kendall?
Yeah, Kendall's going to get into some shith.
Shith? And, you know,
Corey might be getting into some shith.
Maybe.
Chelsea, a little bit of shith.
Shith.
Chicanery.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have any lingering questions. I'm just needing them, like we said, to step it up a notch. Mm-hmm. I'm excited, but also sad for Erica. I'm excited to see how all this shit unfolds. I'm sad for the way that she's about to get, like, gut punched. Because remember how they did it to Casey? Mm-hmm. And not male Casey, female Casey in season 1 with Evan, and just, like, taking a knife, sticking it in this bitch's stomach, and then every episode just slowly twisting it more and more until they broke this poor girl's spirit. And I don't want to see that happen to Erica, but I have a feeling it's about to happen to Erica. I also have a feeling that they're going to manipulate the shit out of Kristen and make her think that Julian is still a cheating ass, no good ass dude, right, when he's actually the goodest ass dude up in there making breakfast.
Right.
Making breakfast.
What do you think of Tom?
I can't fucking stand Tom.
Is he gonna try and do something?
Tom is definitely gonna do Sophia. Definitely going to try to do Sophia. There's no. Do you really expect anything different?
No. You know,
there's
what?
No way. The way that he smiles and licks his lips at this little girl when she trots her little self by.
Right.
There is no way he's not going to try to hit that.
Right.
And he probably will succeed.
Yes, on the show.
On the show. In his bed, violating rules to this day.
To this day.
Well, let us know what you thought of this episode, y'all. Did you think it was boring like we did? Were you excited? Were you enthralled? How are you feeling about the cast of characters? I think right now we're in like the sophomore slump. I feel like this is one of their weaker seasons because they took what made season 2 super dramatic, and I feel like they're trying to replicate it almost.
Yeah.
But I'm going to reserve my judgments. It's only episode 3.
Right.
We've got a long way to go in this journey,
right,
of emotions and figuring out if I'm the one. So let us know in the comments what y'all thought. We always love to hear from you. Yeah. And of course, we will see you guys next time on the I Definitely Do podcast, Temptation Island recap and review. Until then, carry on, wifeys and gents. We love you all.
Peace out.
Bye. I don't know why I do that all the time.
Bye.
Bye. I just want you guys to know I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye. So, for real, I gotta go. Time to feed my child.